Well, a good Sunday, and welcome. Welcome to Sunday Praise. My name is Bill Craig, and as I said, welcome. Welcome to Sunday Praise. Here we are, right after Christmas. Great event. I believe it's the greatest event the world has ever seen. God himself made himself man and come down and in the likeness of man and went to the cross. Why? Because all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Most wonderful chapter, Isaiah 53. And do study it, dear friends. Study it carefully and thoughtfully and prayerfully. It's beautiful what Jesus Christ, what God did for us. Jesus knew he must suffer and die. To the world, that is why he came. Our punishment himself he took, so we wouldn't have to take the blame. Isn't that beautiful? Then Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body and placed it in his tomb, and all the disciples felt afraid and alone as sadness filled the room. Mary Magdalene went out early on Sunday before it was very bright. The stone had been moved. No body there. She wondered who had stolen it by night. Now after the Sabbath, as I read from Matthew 28, now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, which is Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So she ran to tell Simon Peter and John, "They have taken our Lord away." They hurried and found the empty tomb and grave clothes in a bundle lay. It was late on the Sunday evening. The disciples had locked all the doors. The Lord then appeared among them. What joy was theirs once more. Jesus appeared to several people. He showed his hands and his side. He said, "To the Father I'm returning, but my spirit with you will abide." The apostles were filled with wonder. When and how would these things come? The Lord said, "You'll be filled with my power, for my work you still have to do." As they stood there watching, a cloud hid him from their sight. With their eyes still fixed toward heaven, two men appeared dressed in white. We can find that in Acts chapter 1. He asked them, he said, "Why are you standing there looking? This Jesus will soon come again. Everyone will bow down before him. He's coming as king to reign. For this glorious event, we're still waiting. Oh, the world will not be the same. Oh, praise God, it won't. He's waiting for you to come to him when you call on his wonderful name. So don't leave Christ in the manger as we celebrate his marvelous birth, but remember the cross and the empty tomb and the salvation he brought to earth." A poem by Sandra McLaughlin, and it fit right in, dear friends. Acts chapter 1, Jesus said to them, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, he was gone. Behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." And he's coming again, my friends. Yes, the same way. The same way, all we have to be is ready. Father, we come before you. We thank you that we can come before you. Oh, Father, you've given us the privilege to pray in Jesus Christ's name. Father, we thank you for the birth. We thank you for Christ coming to this earth. We thank you for his ascension into heaven. We thank you. We know he's sitting at your right hand, making intercession for us. All those who pray to him, he's making intercession for us. Father, we thank you and ask you to be with those that are listening today. Lift them up. We thank you for them, Lord. May all of our hearts be opened up as we read your word. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 18, it says, Solomon said, he said, will God in very deed dwell with man on earth? That was Solomon's question. The wisest man who ever lived, yes, King Solomon, David's son, asked a question that he did not know the answer to. He said, how great a God, who could not be contained in the heaven of heavens, would dwell in the temple he was about to build? How could such a thing be? Our Lord's incarnation, when he came to earth, answers Solomon's questions, doesn't it? Yes, the God of heaven came to mankind at Bethlehem and grew up in Nazareth so he could go to Calvary and become our Redeemer. O little town of Bethlehem. When I hear that or read the words to that song, it almost invariably brings tears to my eyes. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. A beautiful, beautiful Christmas carol written by Phillips Brooks. Beautiful. And can we not realize? I mean, we just had Christmas. Christ, God himself, came down, made himself man for us. And then I think of when he ascended. He's still only a voice away, sitting at the right hand of Father, waiting to hear from us. And I think of the longer I serve him, I realize more and more how great and wonderful he is.
Consider all the worlds thy hands hath made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, to take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. But till day, I'll walk this world of sorrow, seeking the way that you would have me trod, finding each day your grace is all sufficient, that makes me shout how great you are, my God. Sings my song.
Amen to that. How great, how great thou art. It almost seems like an understatement song, doesn't it? How great thou art. Great doesn't seem to describe what he truly is, beyond great. A little bit of Because He Lives in there as well. That was Miles Peak with an enthusiastic How Great Thou Art. I read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray." So important to pray, isn't it? "For you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So important, increasing in the knowledge of God, as I encourage you to study His Word. Strengthen, verse 11, strengthen with all power. That's the Holy Spirit. He'll strengthen us and make the Bible become alive for us, to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joy, joyously. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He rescued us. Yes, He rescued us from the domain of darkness, from Satan's domain, and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him, yes, by Jesus Christ, all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him are all things hold together. He is also head of the body of the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And I look at that song, How Great Thou Art. And I look at When Christ Shall Come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Maybe it's the next big event for us, dear friends. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, My God, how great Thou art, how great He is. Take time to think, friends, once again about the unfathomable greatness of God and how wonderful His redeeming love for each of us. That's for you, dear friend, His redeeming love for you. And I think of Christmas just gone by, wonderful event, maybe the greatest event that's ever happened to mankind. Ken Gross says, "Our imaginations fail us when we try to picture this scene. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host." Imagine if you were one of those shepherds and you saw all this coming out of the sky. "It was not a bright light," says Ken, "that lit up that Bethlehem night. It was the glory of the Lord blazing in the darkness. The heavenly words rang out, 'For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.'" Luke 2:11. After the angel's announcement, a multitude of the heavenly host burst on the scene saying, "Glory to God in the highest." Luke 2:14. How could they not? Think of it. The long anticipated one had come, and His work of salvation had begun. "Glory to God on high, peace upon earth and joy, goodwill to men. Sing now the Savior's love, too vast to scan." And think of it, friends. Think of it another way. Heaven. Heaven itself came down at Christmas time.
Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, He made all the darkness depart.
Heaven
will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I've received.
Heaven came down and glory filled my soul,
filled my soul.
When at the cross the Savior made me whole,
made me whole.
My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Triumphant Quartet on Sunday Praise, and heaven came down, and glory, glory filled my soul. The statement, when examined in the context of Matthew's Gospel, is incredible. It wasn't long before this incident that the Lord had satisfied a greater company of people with even less provisions, and yet the disciples wondered how the current problem could be resolved. Sadly, we are not better. We see the Lord work in our lives and in a remarkable way one day and then lose faith in his ability the next day. His disciples said unto them, "Where shall we get so much bread in the wilderness to fill the multitude?" Where shall we get so much bread? And of course, as we all know, he fed them. He multiplied the bread. And of course, only God could do that. And he can multiply our hearts, open our hearts so we could see the truth. In Malachi 3:16, we read, "A book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name, his wondrous name." And through all of history, there has always been an emphasis upon gathering in the Lord's name. Thus, how we should prize our ability to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is not to exhibit any exclusive spirit, but rather with a view to acknowledging his supreme worthiness. It's wonderful to gather in his name. May we ever put far from us that we have come to a place. We are gathering to a person. Our Lord's presence is what makes our gathering so precious. William Cooper said, "O Lord, wherever thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where they seek thee, thou art found. And every place is hallowed ground." Isn't that true? Every place where we meet him is hallowed ground. So much to be thankful for, dear friends. So much to be thankful for. Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "For today in the city of David there is born to you a Savior." Savior. Who is Christ the Lord? A Savior. Isn't that wonderful? A Savior come down. So much to be thankful for. And I look in some short quotes. It's really true. Life is like a boomerang. It really is true. What we are and do comes back to us, doesn't it? It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1, "Cast your bread upon the waters, you'll find it after many days." It comes back to us. Each one of us is the inheritor of his or herself. For life is the mirror of king and slave. 'Tis just what we are and do. Then give to the world the best you have, and the best will come back to you. Very true, very true. "I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Yes, now. Today is the day. Let me not defer it or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again." Doing nothing for others is the undoing of oneself. We must be purposely kind and generous, or we miss the best part of existence. The heart that goes out of itself gets large and full of joy, like a seed that falls to the ground. This is the great secret of the inner life. We do ourselves the most good when we're doing something for others. It's so true. It's so true. Thankfulness. When William Stidger taught at the Boston University, he once reflected upon the great number of unthanked people in his life. Those who had helped him, he's talking about himself here, those who had helped him nurtured him, inspired him, or cared enough about him to leave a lasting impression. One was a schoolteacher he had not heard about for many years, but he remembered that she had gone out of her way to put a love verse in him. And Will had loved poetry all his life, and he wrote a letter of thanks to her. The reply received, written in a feeble scrawl of the aged, began, I quote, "My dear Willie," he was delighted, and now over 50 and bald and a professor, he didn't think there was a person left in the world who would call him Willie. Here is the letter. I read the letter from this lovely lady, this lovely teacher. I cannot tell how much your note meant to me. I am now in my 80s, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, and the last leaf of autumn lingering behind. You'll be interested to know that I taught school for 50 years. Listen to this, friends, and this is very sad. Yours is the first note of appreciation I ever received. It came on a blue, cold morning, and it cheered me as nothing has in many years. Imagine when she wrote him, she said, "My dear Willie, my dear Willie, I cannot tell you how much your note meant to me." Sure it did. Absolutely. And he wasn't prone to cry easily, and he wept over that note. She was one of the great unthanked people from Will's past. You know them, my dear friends, don't you? We all do. The teacher who made a difference. The coach will never forget. The music instructor or that Sunday school teacher who helped us believe in Jesus Christ. We all remember who shaped our lives in various ways. People whose influence changed us. That professor, that balding professor, found a way to show his appreciation. He wrote them letters. He wrote them letters. And, you know, friends, I hope Sunday Praise encourages you as you listen to it right here on sundaypraise.ca. And as I said, I hope it encourages you. But I hope also that we encourage and remind you of the things that are important.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed, they're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hand. Yet He chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loves me, I can't understand.
How we need to be reminded. So much to be reminded of. To be kind, generous, considerate, thoughtful. Remind me, dear Lord, so I may become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Compassionate as well. Very important. And she brought forth her first son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. A stranger. Yes, a stranger to this world was born and laid in a manger. There was no one to welcome him. Only his virgin mother and Joseph. No one cared, not even the innkeeper. Hiedersheim wrote, "Beyond the announcement of the bare fact, the Holy Scriptures, with indescribable appropriateness and delicacy, draws a veil over the most sacred mystery. We know so little, but we rejoice in the mystery that God in human likeness entered this world for one purpose, to redeem sinners like ourselves." Jim Conte, to redeem sinners like ourselves. Our world has been defiled by what? By sin, of course, and its creatures subjected to corruption and pain. We all have it. None of us get away, do we? Yet we and all of creation are told to rejoice. Indeed, in spite of creation being in sin's bondage, joy, beauty, light, and life abound and give evidence of an amazing Creator who Himself is a joyful God. His delights are with the sons of men. His creation is good, and let us today, even perhaps amidst trials, maybe you're going through trials, friend, and my heart goes out to you, enjoy and rejoice in the beautiful creation our Father has made. Psalm 96, 11, 12 says, "Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein." Yes, we can be joyful, even amongst the pain, because we look beyond the pain. We look to the future. And of course, in the future, there's no pain. There's no pain, my friend. I read in Psalm 19, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands." We can see it. I looked out the window about 4 in the morning. It was a clear night, and I could see one star. Beautiful. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Psalm 19, verse 1 and 2. Remind me, dear Lord. We need reminding, don't we? Elijah, in 1 Kings, he said, "And I am left." And the Lord said to him, "I have left 7,000. I always love that statement. "I have left 7,000. 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal." And of course, that's demon worship, Baal. And David Crutus says, Elijah had spent his life serving God. and he was devastated by the seeming lack of fruit. He was very depressed, but the Lord reminded him that unknown to him, there were 7,000 in Israel who had refused to bow the knee to demon worship. They were the result of seeing Elijah's courageous stand for God. Imagine that, 7,000. We don't know who's looking at our stand. My friend, dear friend, if you're discouraged, press on. Remember that there's much we do not know how God has been working through us. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Not in vain, dear friend. Not in vain. It's not in vain. We don't know what tomorrow brings, do we? We know what the future way beyond tomorrow brings. Yes, if you've placed your faith in Christ, you know what it brings. But we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we know who's in total control. Total control. I found myself the other day, I watch the news and I try and keep abreast of it a little bit. I don't have television anymore, but I just go on the computer and I can quickly watch the headlines and see what's going on. And I don't think we should be in the dark, but I don't think we should be obsessed about it either, because I was thinking about it and then God seemed to put into my heart, Bill, I'm sovereign. Bill, I'm sovereign. It doesn't matter what's going on and how futile it seems to us, to our finite minds. He said, he didn't say in words, but just the thoughts came into my heart. Bill, I'm sovereign. I'm sovereign. You don't have to worry. You know, and of course, it may look like to some of us that things are falling apart, but they're really not. They're falling into place, my friend. Falling into place.
I know not what my future holds. Lord, I have no way of knowing, but I know the one who holds my future. And I have no fear of where I'm going. Sometimes it seems like I'm standing still until I look back and see how deep my valley, how high the hill, and each step nearer to eternity. Sometimes my friends misunderstand, I hear the sound of a different drummer, but I know my life is in his hands. Just as sure as autumn follows summer, who holds my future.
Mary John Wilkin, and another beautiful, one of her beautiful songs. And as I was listening to that song, I was thinking of another song she wrote, One Day at a Time. That's what we have to do, dear friends, because we don't know what our future holds. We just have to be ready. One day at a time. It's so true. And she sang that one, Where I'm Going. She's written many beautiful songs, and I'm thankful for her. We don't know what the future holds. And I look at a thought that William Booth said, and this is in 1890. And listen to this. He said, I am of the opinion, and he was a great pastor, William Booth. He actually started the Salvation Army. He said, I am of the opinion that the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. I'd say Mr. Booth was making a prophetic statement. But friends, you can know where you're going when you place your faith in Jesus Christ. And nobody can snatch you out of his hand. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, John 10:27, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And I think of looking ahead. When Moses was about to depart to glory, in Deuteronomy we have his final words to Israel. And he says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And much of the book is occupied with reflecting on Israel's years in the wilderness and the unfailing faithfulness of God. To who? To them. But now they looked ahead. He knew they were about to begin a new type of experience, and in wisdom he knew it was important for Israel to draw confidence and strength to face the future from their past experience with God. This is so necessary in our day as we face the future, and as we're just about to enter into a new year, there could be an unknown path. It's all unknown. This is so necessary in our day as we face the future. It's okay to look back, but it's most important to see God's hand at work in our lives and step forward with boldness to face the challenges ahead, because God holds the future in his hands. In every heart he understands. On him we depend. My friend, he is your friend. He holds the future in his hands. Our omniscient and all-wise Lord veils from us details relating to both our life and our death. Such uncertainty should not cause us anxiety. Rather, we should rest firmly in the one great fact about which there is no doubt. When we've placed our faith in his hand, we are the Lord's. Whatever may occur in life or death, we are assured that we are his, bought by his precious blood. Whether we live or whether we die, when we've placed our faith in his hand, we're his. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Wade Robinson wrote a little poem here. He says, heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light in gloom decline, but while God and I shall be, I am his, and he is mine. My dear friend, nobody can snatch you out of his hands. And we can know, ultimately, where we're going, when we're redeemed, when we've placed our faith in Jesus Christ. And dear friends, don't leave 2018. Don't leave today unredeemed, or unsaved, or not regenerated, or not twice born. My dear friends, we must be born again. Jesus Christ tells us very clearly, as he talked to Nicodemus that day, he said, you must be born again. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again, what does it mean? What does it mean, born again? It's actually fairly simple. When we ask him into our heart, ask him to forgive us of our sins, old things pass away. In other words, he forgives us of our sins. Yeah, it's hard to believe, but he does. Is it supernatural? Yes. He makes you a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciles us to himself How? Through Christ. Through Christ. I look in verse 21 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. He made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, to be sin on our behalf, Jesus Christ, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In him. Isn't it wonderful what he's done for us? So much to be thankful for. We're thinking about that and we're being reminded about it today as we walk into almost just around the corner, 2019. Where did it go? And dear friends, I hope, I pray that you can sing along with me and sing along with the Poet Voices and Phil Cross. I am redeemed, and know it well.
I was a slave in a foreign land, so very far from the Father's loving hand. He rescued me one glorious day. He brought me out, paid a debt I could not pay. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am set me free. Still I live in a foreign land, but now I'm free according to redemption's plan. Soon I'll join cannot sing. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed. I am chains of sin and set me free.
Some glorious morning they will come from all nations, from every generation. Side by side they will march into the celestial city of Jehovah. And in perfect harmony they will begin humming a new song. A song composed by God, arranged for his children. As the saved by grace approach the land of their dreams, the host of heaven will step aside. Even the angels will be silent, for they cannot sing this new song. For it is a song reserved for voices who once cried out for the Redeemer, those washed in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, these are the redeemed.
Chains of
Phil Cross and Poet Voices. Isn't that a beautiful song? Isn't it beautiful? It's even more beautiful when you've been redeemed. It's glorious. It's beautiful. I am redeemed. Sin is gone. You're not a slave to sin anymore. I think of the foolish virgins in Matthew 25, verse 10. And there's a point in life when excuses won't do, my friend. The door will be shut. Absolutely nothing you can do about it. All action should have been taken beforehand. But when the door is shut, just like the door on the ark, imagine the fingernail marks in that door on Noah's ark, where they tried desperately to get in. And I think of tomorrow. We say, we'll do it tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes, does it? My dear friend, don't put it off. Ask Christ into your heart. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Otherwise, we'll be facing a shut door. We have to be ready at all times. My dear friends, it will shut. One day it will shut. And I just give you a short story here. This man, he was walking along with his wife, and they were heading to church. This was in Glasgow, and they met a friend, and he said, "Where are you going?" And they said, "We're going to hear Dr. Chalmers preach." He said, "What? To hear that madman? He's mad." And they said that if you would agree to go with them after he talked, if you persisted in talking of that manner of him the same way, then they'd never again ask him to come again. So he went to church with them. It happened that when Dr. Chalmers entered the pulpit that day, he gave out his text. "I am not mad," from Acts chapter 26. "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." But that friend, for theirs that day, I mean, that was totally God, wasn't it? God puts things together. He links things together. They realized that it was God. I mean, he was calling the preacher mad, and all of a sudden the preacher's talking about that particular service. But when Paul was talking to the king, or King Agrippa said to Paul, "In a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul said, I wish to God that whether in a short or long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." Paul wanted all to come to, and so does God, dear friends, all of us. That king was almost persuaded, but dear friends, I hope you're totally persuaded to come to Jesus Christ.
Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to soul to say.
As the Leuven brothers were singing that song, Almost Persuaded, you could hear the tears in their voices. Almost Persuaded. Dear friends, you've been listening to Sunday Praise. My name is Bill Craig. And dear friends, as you go through the week, please tell somebody about Jesus. Give them hope. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16 and John 3:17 I also love. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world or condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And dear friends, I hope you enter the new year redeemed, knowing Jesus Christ, and knowing where you're going to be going. And dear friends, my name, as I said, is Bill Craig, and I'm just here to remind you of the truth of Jesus Christ. God bless you, dear friends, and Lord willing, we'll see you again next Sunday.
Heaven is a city built by jewels red. Its beauty is a splendor yet untold. If you neglect salvation, you'll never while we walk this weird